This is I for Travel speaking to Tim Hughes, blogger at The Boot. Tim will be chairing the Sales and Marketing in Travel Asia Pacific 2008 conference happening on the 29th and the 30th of July in Sydney. Hi Tim, thanks for talking to us. Okay Tim, what new emerging marketing channels and touch points are set to cause a stir in the next few years?
I think whenever you're asking yourself a question about what's new, you've always got 75 answers, maybe 100 answers. But I think there are two that I keep a constant watch on. First is metasearch. I think it's changing the way the business is working. It's changing customer loyalty. It's changing shopping patterns. It's changing marketing patterns. The two things that I think are interesting, particularly interesting about it are how it impacts customer loyalty. Can consumers be loyal to metasearch? And if they're not loyal to metasearch, what does that mean for the suppliers and providers behind it? And once, if they are loyal, how loyal are they? And we'll probably talk a little bit more about that when we get on to the questions about brand, but I think that's particularly challenging. Also a huge technical challenge around metasearch. Metasearch pounds suppliers. It just sends request after request after request to suppliers, be they hoteliers or Pegasus or an online intermediary. I think there's a lot of challenges technically around how you survive volume from metasearch. The other one is, and I talk about that a lot in the blog, about the amount of information that's out there, the quantity of reviews, the quantity of user-generated content, the quantity of even editorialized review content, extraordinary amounts of information out there for the consumer to digest, for the supplier, for the hotel, for the airline to understand about themselves. It's almost, if you are a small hotel, a medium hotel, even a large hotel, the amount of information out there on the interweb about your property is uncontrollable. So how do you control it? Or how do you live in an environment where it's out of control? So I think they're two of the big new things that I like to keep a little watch on.
Okay, and going on from that, what are the key things to remember for online success? And are there any shining examples who are doing things very well in the online travel space?
Yeah. I think the successes in online are the same as offline. This is retail. This is selling stuff to punters. The best way to be successful is to think about the consumer, do what the consumer wants, think and operate as if you are in the shoes of the consumer. Online, offline, travel, non-travel, that's the success metric in retail. I don't kind of send my mind to which of the online players are doing a better job or a worse job, but I will use a travel example to give a pretty sort of nice little snapshot of how to do good by a consumer. I'm known for my sort of love-hate relationship with Qantas. And I was recently experiencing a flight on a good competitor of theirs coming out of Australia, Cathay Pacific. I flew recently with my two-year-old daughter, and she pressed the call button for the staff member to come and pay attention to her every 5 minutes on the 5 minutes, as two-year-olds are wont to do. They find a red button and they press it. And every 5 minutes on the 5 minutes, that Cathay Pacific person came through the curtain and checked with me if everything was okay. I've been on Qantas flights for 24 hours where if I've pressed that button more than 3 times, they come out with a gun, hold it to my head and tell me not to press it ever again. So I think that is a snapshot how in travel, thinking about the consumer and going that extra mile in customer service is critical success. And I would say that would be exactly the same in online. And the online people who are there for their consumers, who are true champions for consumers, don't try and rip them off. Don't try to skimp on service. Don't try to hide the costs, hide the prices, hide the conditions. They're the guys that will be successful, not the ones who see the consumer as an irritant getting in the way of some sort of profit-making activity.
And then one of the things that online does throw up is search. And what are the new obstacles and challenges that search is presenting for the travel industry? And, you know, are there any new developments set to shake things up in the future?
Well, I don't think any of us can predict 6 to 12 months out what consumers will be doing to find travel. I think each consumer is finding a new path to travel. Google was the only way to do it last year. This year it seems to be metasearch is a big part about it. 2 years before that, it was all about offline branding and getting consumers to come directly to your site. I think that's changing as well. So the prospect of what is next to search and how to get there in search is very hard to predict. But I do say this, and probably goes to one of the questions you'll ask later. that we are at the same time overestimating and underestimating the power of new search, and I'm thinking of social networking, in influencing consumer behavior. People have flocked to MySpace and flocked to Facebook and Bebo and Where Are You Now and all those sort of very wonderful, powerful social networks, and are using that for doing engaging in all sorts of social behavior. And in some ways, using that to drive their search behavior and their recommendation behavior and their travel finding behavior. But we haven't yet seen the monetization of it, and to meet the capacity of all those eyeballs. And we haven't yet seen what it means in old-fashioned consumers just booking hotels, booking air, booking cruise, booking car. So we have to be very, very careful about jumping too far ahead of the consumer purchasing behavior and focusing on just the consumer search behavior in how we as online retailers make the dollars today. So I think what is new for search, meta search is new for search. What is new for search, recommendationary-based search through social networks. But the dollars are not yet there in the way in which you would say that's got to be the main place in which I do my search marketing. If you're engaged in search marketing, you're engaged in Google right now, full stop, and you're thinking about the next one.
Okay, and that goes on nicely to my next question. How is the web changing, and how is it going to impact the industry? And of course, you know, just how big an impact has social media made? How much of an impact is it still to make? And what adjustments do you think travel needs to make to ensure success?
Yeah, I think every business has to innovate, every retail has to innovate, and online travel particularly has to retain innovation. But we've also got an interesting challenge to go here as online retailers, is that we are now in a mature business. In America, we've got more than 50% of the market online. Europe's at least more than a third. Asia's, in most of the major Asian markets, we're talking more than a quarter, if not more than a third online. So we're in a mature market where we have to innovate, which is a challenge and something that I think will press all of us to the depths of our creativity. But in social network, as I mentioned in my earlier comment, we've underestimated and overestimated at the same time. Analysts have just come out this week, for instance, and downgraded News Corp stock's performance purely on the basis of MySpace. Just recently, their head of revenue of Fox Interactive Media resigned because they failed, only just, but failed to reach the $1 billion ad sales revenue in that business unit. And that is because, despite the incredible number of eyeballs on MySpace and the hours that each user spends, the dollars have not yet flowed to the same degree. Lots of dollars are flowing, but not to the same degree as the quantity of eyeballs. So we have to be very careful about reinventing and completely breaking our business models just because there are lots of eyeballs pouring around Facebook, MySpace, Where Are You Now. The retailer that owns a relationship with the supplier and is able to secure the best rates and the best availability still is the person closing the sale, still is the person putting the head in the bed, the bum in the seat, person on the cruise. So I think we have to be very careful about overestimating the power of lots of eyeballs on social networks. At the same time, I think we underestimate it because every month we think to ourselves, Facebook can't grow anymore, Bebo can't grow anymore, MySpace can't grow anymore, and it does. And if I look at the behavior patterns of my 18-year-old cousin and the way she interacts with Facebook and her friends on Facebook, the way she's almost stopped using email and interacts with Facebook, it reminds me of the way back in 1998, 1999, I was looking at 23 and 25-year-olds who were doing things that they called blogs. And when that 18-year-old on Facebook becomes 28 and has earning an income, social networking will be the only way in which people interact with people online. So I think we have to be very careful and acknowledge that we're underestimating and overestimating social network at the same time, but at the same time as retailers stick to our knitting of getting great rates, great availability, great customer experience to make the sale.
Okay. And then how do you see the intermediary power plays changing in the Asia-Pacific region? And how does this go, run down to the travel supplier? How's it affecting them?
This is one of the great questions. And I think the big thing you always have with Asia is that Asia is not a thing you can define of itself and collectively in retail, particularly online travel retail. The way we talk and think about the Chinese market, the Australian market, Japanese market, Indian market, the big markets in this region, is different. China has its own set of strong local players for whom the majority of their sales are offline through call centres, very different sort of nuance to online. Japan has the air side of the business completely dominated by the suppliers and the hotel side of the business completely dominated by intermediaries. India doesn't have a travel industry, or didn't have a travel industry until the online travel industry. You tour the streets of major Indian cities, you don't see travel agents on every corner like you do everywhere else in the world. But you see the online travel players as being some of the biggest and best that there is. Australia, for a nation of 20 million people, has got an extraordinary vibrant online sector that's going absolutely crazy and dominated by, again, suppliers on the air side and online intermediaries on the non-air side, but with a couple of little OTAs trying to make a huge fight back and gain market share. So the first point to make is that we have to look country by country, player by player in Asia. And the pan-Asian brand success story online doesn't really exist. It exists at the market level where the successes are happening. But what do we know about that? We know that we have to, if you want to be serious about Asia, you have to take each market differently. You have to take inbound differently to domestic. And you have to be prepared to localize extensively when you hit a particular market to get it right.
Okay. And then I guess from that question, it's best to go on to this one about what is the best strategy to take advantage of new markets, like where, you know, these lucrative emerging markets, how do you best leverage profits off them?
I think it's a question which unfortunately can't be answered that easily in the general sense, because it depends on the product, depends on the company. Each company is going to have a different product set, a different approach to emerging markets. But I think the general answer is to know the market. To not assume what works in market A is going to work in market B, to get on the ground, smell it, feel it, touch it, taste it, walk around in it. It's amazing the thing you can learn just wandering the streets of the market and seeing how people buy and sell stuff, seeing how people market the stuff. So the extent there isn't an answer is just to get to know it, get your hands in it, and get to know the market. Don't assume the technology you have is going to be all you need. Don't assume that the brand you have might be all you need.
And then finally, how can you further engage customers in your brand and really, you know, foster that loyalty in today's fiercely competitive travel market?
I disagree with everybody. Well, not everybody. I disagree with those people who say that brand is dead online. I think that's untrue. I just think the way in which a brand is built and held, the way in which a brand develops a psychological hold over a customer is different online. I talked on the blog about a concept I can call nightclub branding or nightclub loyalty, where consumers can be loyal to more than one nightclub. Friday nights I go to Fred's bar, Saturday nights I go to Harry's bar, Sunday nights I go to the workout night at the whatever bar. I'm intensely loyal to those different nightclubs on the different experience that I have with them. But then 6 months later, I drop my loyalty. 6 months later, I not only go to Fred's bar on a Friday night because it's not the place to be anymore. So there's the loyalty still exists, and the need to trust a provider based on some experience or some sort of hold they have over you exists. But that loyalty can be fleeting. You can be loyal to more than one. But while it could be fleeting and more than one, you can be deeply passionate about it at the same time. So I think branding, you have to be prepared to recreate your brand and kind of innovate your brand, much in the way that nightclubs have different nights. You might have the same venue, but a different theme going on. So when we look at that, we look at kind of examples about the way people have moved from various retailers, the way people have four or five retailers in their basket of service providers that they shop from. So I think unambiguously, brand still exists online, loyalty still exists online. It's just we have to treat it very differently to the way in which traditional brand owners try and grab you and hold you to the exclusion of all others and for an indeterminate period of time.
Thank you, Tim. Once again, that was Tim Hughes, blogger at The Boot, who will be chairing the Sales and Marketing in Travel 2008 conference happening on the 29th and the 30th of July in Sydney. For more information, please go to www.i4travel.com/SMAPAC. That's Sierra, Mike, Alpha, Papa, Alpha, Charlie.